with you today about the most important subject that I've ever shared with anyone about. I'm going to talk about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What makes the blood so precious? Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11 tell us, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Notice that word, precious. Peter said the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. What makes the blood of Jesus Christ so precious? I'm going to give you seven things which make it so. Seven things which tell us that the blood of Yeshua the Messiah is precious. The blood of Yeshua is precious because it is the blood of God. It's not man's blood, but God's blood. Think on that one for a moment. I know you want to have me prove that from the scripture. So look in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, what makes God's blood so very special? Several things. First of all, his blood was incorruptible. There is corruption in our blood. There was no sin in his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, was without sin. That blood was undefiled. No corruption, no sin or sickness. Doctors administer blood tests because, in many cases, the blood test can determine the illness. Think of it. The only time in the history of the earth since the very first man and woman were created that there was blood on the earth which had no sin, no death, no corruption, no sickness was in the blood which flowed through the veins of the Son of God. That's part of the reason why Yeshua is called the second Adam. It was God's blood. Listen to what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 11, and pay special attention to verse 12. Hebrews 9, verse 11, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" What is the emphasis? God's blood. Why is the blood of Yeshua so precious? Because it was God's blood, and different from any blood that the world system knows anything about. It was precious. The precious blood of God contained in a human body. The blood of Yeshua is precious because it's the blood of the cross. Praise the Lord. Look in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, and you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And in verse 20, we see that it is not only the blood of God, but it's the blood of the cross. And look also over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Friends, get in the habit of, when we see that word law, asking the Holy Spirit to tell you which law. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. What law? Moses' law. 613 commandments. Oh, wow. You think you need a Savior? You try living under 613 commandments with the Pharisees expanding them and multiplying them all the time, and you'll know that law was a curse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Yep, we're talking there about the law of Moses. Not the law of God, and not the law of sin and death. Although the law of sin and death could probably be applied there, because we know that the law of sin and death has a curse associated with it. How many know that when God gave the book of the law, instead of setting men free, it pronounced a curse on every one of us? Who among us is successful in keeping and meeting all of the demands of the law? Nobody. And that's the reason that Paul said, we have all sinned. We were born sinners with sin-tainted blood in our veins, every one of us, and we all come short of the glory of God. The law came, not the law of God, not the royal law, not the everlasting covenant, but God gave the law of 613 commandments to Moses, and that law came and set a standard which we cannot reach. Instead of bringing a blessing to us, it put a curse upon us. And in verse 13 of chapter 3 in Galatians, Christ, it says, Christ hath redeemed, past tense, done deal, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay, we are redeemed by Christ from the curse of the law. What law are we talking about? The law of sin and death. Amen. And even the law of Moses. Yes, we have glorious freedom in Messiah from the law of Moses. Not that the law of Moses is bad, but we have glorious freedom in Messiah, but not the everlasting covenant, the royal law of God. It's going to get good when we see what this blood can do for us. Verse 13, chapter 3, Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Think about this for a moment. Jesus did not break the law. He did not sin. He not only kept the royal law of God, the Ten Commandments, but he kept all 613 of Moses as well. Yeshua was the sinless Son of God. There was no curse upon him. The poison of sin was not in his blood. There was no curse upon him, but he became cursed when he permitted himself to be the Christ of the cross. Don't ever forget that. Because Jesus told us in the last days there would be many false Christs. And we know the real Christ is the Christ of the cross. When he was nailed to the cross, the scriptures say that everyone who is nailed to a cross is cursed. Yeshua became a curse so that he could redeem us who have been cursed. Yeshua went to the cross to pay the price for you and me who are under a curse, so that we may be set free from the curse. There is no curse on me because He became a curse in my place. Think on that for a moment, and it'll bring a blessing to you. I want to show you something else concerning the blood of the cross. Turn to the book of Romans in the 5th chapter, and starting at verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Yeshua Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement. And back up in verse 1 of chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The blood of Yeshua Messiah is precious because it's the blood of God. The blood of Yeshua Messiah is precious because it's the blood of the cross. At the cross, God did no less than four things. First, God justified me. When Yeshua Messiah became a curse in my place, that gave God the opportunity to maintain his holiness and at the same time set me free from my sin. God became both just and the justifier because of the blood of the cross. I am justified just as if I had never sinned. And that's what the blood of the cross did. And second, God reconciled me. For when I lived without Messiah, I was an enemy. I was alienated from God. Have you ever wondered why people can use the name of Jesus as a curse word? You know why? They are enemies of Messiah. They are not his friends. You cannot be born again and curse Jesus at the same time. The moment you are saved, it will clean up your language. There had to be a way made for those who were separated from God and enemies of God to bring us close to God. At the cross, that is exactly what Yeshua did. When Jesus became a curse, Jesus lifted the curse from me and brought me into relationship with God. And that is a legal process. I'm not saved because I have emotional feelings. I'm not saved because I utter tongues and shout hallelujah. You can say hallelujah and be just as lost as a polecat. We must come to the cross of Christ and realize that we are saved through what God did. And it's none of the devil's business. Reconciled and brought into relationship with God. How can darkness and light fellowship together? How can a sinner talk to a sinless, holy God? It cannot be done except for the blood of the cross. And third, the precious blood of Messiah gave me peace. I do not run around under condemnation. If I stumble and miss the mark, I go to the blood of the cross and leave it there. I walk away, and I'm not condemned. I do not go to bed guilty. I do not let the devil hang a jacket on me for what I've done. I say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, and help me not to do it again. And the blood of the cross cleanses me from sin. The Lord does not want us to run around with a heavy load on us. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I know someone who can give you peace. In verse 2 of Romans 5, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The blood of the cross has made it possible for the love of God to dawn in my heart. It is God's grace. God paid the price I could never pay. If anybody else is glad that they will not get the hell they deserve, can you say amen? Maybe even hallelujah, Yeshua. God keeps pouring favor upon me when I do not deserve it. Lord, I don't deserve it. And the answer from the Lord is, I know it. I'm going to bless you anyway because of the cross. How many are glad for the blood of the cross? The blood is precious because it's the blood of the Lamb. You remember when John the Baptist introduced Yeshua? John pointed to Yeshua at the Jordan, and John said, I want to introduce you to the one who is coming. Behold him. He is the Lamb of God. And in 1 Peter, in that first chapter, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. In the book of Revelation, we get a picture that we should never forget. The passage is in the 5th chapter and beginning at verse 5. Listen to this now, starting at Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When we get to heaven, we're not only going to see Messiah as the Lion, but we are also going to see him as the Lamb. What does that mean? It is the blood of the Lamb. Under the old covenant, when a person sinned, that person could get a lamb without blemish. That person brought the lamb to the altar. When the lamb was slain, the priest would lay his hand on the guilty sinner and on the other hand on the head of that innocent lamb, so that that lamb died in the place of the sinner. I'm about to bless myself here. Folks, this is good preaching, even if you don't know it. When we get over on that other side and get a glimpse of Yeshua, we're going to see him as a lamb, one who took away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, without spot or blemish. It was the blood of the Lamb upon the altar which caused the sinner to walk away absolutely free. When I come to the blood of the Lamb, I walk away from the Lamb absolutely free. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah, Yeshua. The blood is precious because it's the blood of atonement. The word atone means to take away. God is God. God has every right to make the rules. This is his creation. God set up the order that blood had to be spilled. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. In other words, sin cannot be taken away unless there was the price of death paid for sin. And that's the law of sin and death. The soul that sins shall die. That's the law. You see the proof of it every day. Only Yeshua did not stay dead in his grave when he died. The law of sin and death couldn't hold him because he never did sin. Is there anybody else who did not stay in their grave and lives forever? That is the curse of the law of sin and death. Everybody's a sinner, and the proof is that sooner or later everybody dies. The wages of sin is death, and every time you pass a cemetery, you see the proof. Where will your soul go at the time you die? That is the question that we all need to get answered today with no doubts about it. Amen? If the blood atones for my sin, it means that the blood picks up the sin from my life and takes it away, so that I do not have to hassle with it anymore. God, in Messiah Yeshua, has atoned for my sin. Christians should walk around in victory every moment because of the blood. We need to often plead the blood. Don't struggle with your weakness. Claim and plead the blood, which is stronger than your weakness. When you and I bring our weakness and frailty to the blood, the blood of Yeshua is powerful. If you'll stay under the blood of Yeshua, you will be delivered from your hassles. It will take away your sin. if you're hearing this and you're struggling with drugs or alcohol or anything else, bring that hassle to the blood of Yeshua. The blood of Yeshua has the power to take it away. If you are having a battle with lying, bring it to the blood. You say, what am I going to do about this lying? I lie when I should not. Take it to the blood of Yeshua. If you're having a problem with a habit, don't struggle with the habit. Take the habit to the blood of Yeshua. Bring it to the blood of atonement and say, by the power of the blood of Yeshua, take away this thing. Keep it away, and the blood will take it away. It will happen. The Lord does not want his people under bondage. And that's what makes the blood so precious. I plead the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah, for the power of the blood of Yeshua. When in doubt, shout, blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. I do not have the strength or ability. I am not able, but the blood of Yeshua is the atoning power. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood is precious because it is the blood of propitiation. Yes, propitiation. Now that is a $64 word. What is the blood of propitiation? We find that word propitiation in Romans. I could give you another $64 word for propitiation, like expiation, but that wouldn't help much, would it? What is propitiation? It is a very important word. Expiation or propitiation emphasizes the removal of guilt through the payment of the penalty. Propitiation emphasizes the appeasement or averting of God's wrath and justice. Both words are related to reconciliation, since it is through Messiah's death on the cross for our sins that we are reconciled to a God of holy love. Listen to what it says in the third chapter of the book of Romans, starting in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. What does propitiation mean? It actually means mercy seat. In its most technical meaning of the word, it actually means mercy seat. Even better than mercy seat, it means covering. To propitiate means to cover. On top of the Ark of the Covenant, there were two cherubims with wings outstretched to meet at the center. Between the cherubims was the mercy seat. When God was present, there was a fire. The mercy seat was made effective when the blood was sprinkled on it. The high priest came in once a year with the blood on the Day of Atonement, which was the day sin was taken away. The high priest approached the Ark of the Covenant and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. When the high priest sprinkled the blood, it activated the mercy of God for the whole nation of Israel. When the high priest left the holy place, the high priest left through the veil. And when the people saw the high priest, they knew that God had accepted the blood on the mercy seat. Now mercy would reign in Israel for one whole year. When Jesus went back to heaven, remember, he told Mary not to touch him because he had not been back to the Father yet. The Lord went to a heavenly altar. The Lord went to the heavenly mercy seat and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. How do we know the blood was accepted? Because when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost came as the Lord promised would happen. The Holy Ghost declared what Jesus promised had taken place in the glory world. And now all of us are covered with the mercy of God. You say, preacher, you just don't know what so-and-so did. Well, yes, I do. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. What do you think God is going to do about it? God has already done it. Blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Some of us who point fingers at someone who is failing might ought to think and maybe be a little bit more careful. We're in danger of blaspheming the blood on the mercy seat. There is only one sin that we could commit where God will not have anything to do with you. And that is to take the mark of the beast in your right hand or your forehead. Otherwise, you cannot sin a sin so bad that God will not have anything to do with you. Why? His blood is greater than anything you and I can ever think about doing. I do not ever ask God for justice. I ask for mercy. Have you heard the old story about the woman who went to the photographer? She said, "That picture you took of me does not do me justice." He said, "Ma'am, you don't need justice. You need mercy." That's the reason the Bible calls the blood of sprinkling. The blood of sprinkling means that the high priest, who is the Lord of glory, went to the heavenly altar, and he sprinkled not the blood of bulls and goats, he sprinkled his own blood. Can I throw this in for you to think about? The church has available to it today a video of how Ron Wyatt found the Ark of the Covenant. Jeremiah had taken it from the first temple 600 years before Messiah died on the cross. When Yeshua died, there was an earthquake, and that earthquake split the ground about 6 inches from the cross of Messiah. And when the centurion stuck that spear in Yeshua's side, John testified that blood and water came out. That 3 pints of blood and water ran down the cross and down that crack from the earthquake and sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant that Jeremiah put there 600 years before Messiah was crucified. The blood of the mercy seat proves that we are redeemed. The blood of Yeshua proves the love of God for all who will grab hold of it. Whosoever will. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're redeemed, can you say, "Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Yeshua." If you don't understand this, make sure you get a hold of some pastor to explain it before you end this day. Nothing is more important. I also sometimes think about the blood which ran down over Yeshua's face. Yeshua poured out his precious blood on that old rugged cross for me and you. And whosoever will receive the truth of the love of God expressed by the precious blood of Jesus. Why doesn't everybody love and want to obey and serve a God who loves us that much? Most people just don't know the truth about God. How do you get to know the truth about God? Not by listening to me or any other preacher. You must read the Bible. Yes, in these days of strong delusion, the only teacher or preacher you can trust is the Holy Spirit of God, giving you the truth as you read the King James Version, authorized, the authorized version of the Holy Bible. And that's why it's holy. It's the word of a God who cannot lie. And all Bibles don't say the same thing, and that's why there is an authorized Holy Bible. I know the blood of Yeshua is on the mercy seat. I know that. It is called the blood of propitiation. The word propitiation means covering. The only way the accuser of the brethren can get to me is if I get out from under the blood. I'm going to give you the next two. Man, this has got to be one of the greatest sermons that anybody could ever preach. The blood is precious because it is the blood of the covenant. Do you know that a testament or a will is of no value unless the testator, the one who makes the will, dies? My will is not worth the paper that it's written on as long as I'm running around in this body. Do you know when it activates? When I die, it goes into motion. You see, who ever is going to get my stuff, I'm not going to tell you, but it doesn't make any difference what's in that will until I die. Every covenant or will is a contract that is activated by death. When Jesus made a new covenant, he activated it when he died. It became the blood of the covenant. When Jesus died, the New Testament was put into motion. There are five things about this covenant which make the blood so precious. First, in the New Covenant, we have a changeless priesthood. In the Old Covenant, the priest could only be a priest for some number of years until he died. About the time a priest knew how to be a good priest, he died. But under the New Covenant, we have a priest who never dies. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Can you say hallelujah? And second, we have a better tabernacle. In the Old Covenant, they ministered in an earthly tabernacle. Under the New Covenant, the priest ministers in a heavenly tabernacle. I do not pray to an earthly altar. I pray at a heavenly altar. Third, we have a better promise. The New Covenant is a better promise. Don't drag me back under the bondage of the Old Covenant when I have a new one. However, the way I demonstrate my love to God is that I now have the power of the Holy Ghost to keep His Ten Commandments. Do I ever sin, folks, you're looking at or listening to? One great big sinner. Yes, I sin. But I don't sin as much as I used to. And I don't have to sin. I don't have to sin at all. I have the power of the Holy Ghost to say no to sin. I have the power of the blood of Yeshua to stop sinning. And now I delight in God's law. You don't love those Ten Commandments without the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen? And fourth, we have a better sacrifice. The best sacrifice which could be offered under the Old Covenant was a spotless lamb. The sacrifice under the New Covenant is the precious Lamb of God, the once for all perfect sacrifice. If you can say and understand this, I think you ought to say hallelujah, Yeshua. Fifth, we have a better mediator. Our mediator ever lives to make intercession for us. He pleads my case. The blood is precious because it is the blood of the new covenant. I was saved by a covenant declaration. I have a legal right to say that I am saved. Somebody might say, oh, you folks are just emotional. Sure, we're emotional because of what we know. The blood of Yeshua is precious. The blood is precious because it is the blood of redemption. What does that mean? It means that there is a price which must be paid to get us out of the devil's pawn shop. The devil had a legal hold on us, and there is a price. The word says that God loved us so much he paid the price so we could become his own property. You're bought with a price. I'm not my own anymore. Paul said you're bought with a price. It was not silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us. Past tense, done deal. Do not get down in the mouth if you ain't somebody. Don't ever, ever, ever think you don't amount to much. That's baloney. You are important. You say, how do you know? Because God so loved you that he paid a price for you. He redeemed you and bought you and brought you out of darkness into marvelous light. What a great price God paid for you, saint. Get a hold of it. God paid a great price for you, saint. He bought you with the precious blood of Messiah Yeshua. The blood is precious because it's the blood of redemption. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've heard that song. I'm not going to try and sing to you. I know the words, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child. And forever I am redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all day long. I sing because I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King, in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and gives me songs in the night. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. If you're glad for the precious blood, we say amen. Will you remember this sermon for the rest of your life? You see, that's the difference between life and death. Choose life. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. I say, choose life through the blood, the precious blood of Yeshua.